Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents Betches Moms with hosts Aileen Drexler and Brittany Levine. Get ready to lock yourself in the bathroom or wherever else you hide from your kids, because you'll literally never be alone again.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Moms podcast. I'm Aileen.
And I'm Brittany.
And we're together again. Just these solo apps have been really fun, so we're going to keep them going. Although we really did enjoy Dr. Becky and all of her advice that this time around I was able to soak up. Yeah, I even was like to Rusty, I was like, oh, I have a show that I want you to listen to.
I think it would be really great for us to watch together.
Yeah, I'd love for you to listen, but I don't need to listen it with you because I was there.
I have a question. So now that you got to talk to Dr. Becky after having a child, like you said, it's a very different experience for you. So now how are you feeling about it? Because you're still not really at the age where you could parent Mila, where you're like actually talking to her the way you talk to a toddler.
But I feel like I can practice when it's or the stakes are way lower. Like, you know, it's the other day I noticed it kind of happened more naturally. Like, she's like frustrated about something and I'm like, I see you're frustrated. Like, do you want to play with this instead? Or like, do you want to do this instead? Like something like me not trying to fix it for her. It was like a combination of all the knowledge that I've like soaked up passively through Instagram. Like by following Dr. Becky, Jenny Moniz.
Yeah.
Jenny Money.
Yeah. Mo Mommies.
She's not Mo Mommies anymore.
Yeah. She's not Mo Mommies. Jenny, we need to talk about
Jenny
that.
Of Union Square Play, which I hope she opens one around here by us. Same. I saw she was doing a pop-up, like Watermill or something, but I was not there. And like I follow so many more accounts come up,
like on Big Instagram. Big Little Feelings.
Big Little Feelings, all those. So like I'm soaking it up. But yeah, it's a lot easier to process those because you kind of like can imagine times when you would use that. Whereas before it was just like too overwhelming because I couldn't even imagine what that would be like. Sort of how pre-pregnancy or in the beginning of pregnancy when like I would get advice, for example, from Shira, my sister-in-law, like talking about like breastfeeding and like you need to get this cream and you need to get this and all the diapers and fucking, I was like so overwhelmed. I was like, I can't handle all of this. Like, this is too much information. I don't imagine needing it. So I can't like process it. Whereas like now it's like, oh, I understand all the scenarios in which you need these things. So my brain can like categorize that information.
Right.
So no, that makes sense. It's sort of the same. Like I couldn't really process it that way because I didn't understand how to use those tools. Like what situations would you use them? So, and I feel like less bad because it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, that you made a really good point. Like you're still able, like even though like you're not really like, she's not talking back yet, like you're still able to verbalize these things and practice. And like, it's like when she gets to the age where she is fully understanding you, she's not going to be confused of why you're like all of a sudden changing what you're saying. Like you're kind of like using these things now and you're going to continue. And then like kind of one of the things that we spoke about with Dr. Becky is like, how do we make it feel more natural? So like with time, like practice and constantly using these different tools, it just kind of becomes natural to you.
It takes practice to also do the thing where it's not like, good girl, that piece, like just saying things about like the process. And I think that that's actually just like a great lesson about like life, because like for managing even adult relationships, like showing empathy to other people, like just talking to them about when you're like giving, when you're noticing someone did something that is cool, instead of being like, wow, good job, it's more so like, wow, like you must have had a lot of on your plate when you did that. Like that's like sort of like seeing the process, not just the end result, is like a way to just empathize with someone.
Right.
And create connection beyond just your child. So it's like a good practice anyway.
It is. It is. So yeah, I'm really excited for her book and to like continue. It was definitely, same. I feel like whenever like we have these episodes, it's like a self-check of like, okay, what have I been doing in my parenting? And like, what do I need to fix? And like,
all did you that. Feel that like it was, there are some things that you were like, oh, wait, I'm kind of like not, I haven't been very mindful of what I've been saying.
Like, when she talks about like, and I know a lot of parents listening might be like, oh, not this. But like when she talks about like the sharing thing or like the saying no, like she puts it into perspective of like it's, you're not saying like, oh, no, you shouldn't say, you have to share. It's how you say it to somebody. And like the whole like, you know, I know you're a generous person. I know you'll figure it out. Just kind of like saying certain things. And I actually did use that with Oliver, I think like that day. Where I was like, I didn't want to be like, come on. Like normally I'd be like, come on, like he's a baby. Just like give it to him. Because no, like Oliver was playing with something and that's not fair to him. So, you know, I understood. I'm like, I understand that like this is your toy and you're having fun with it. Maybe you can find a different toy for Jack to play with because he just wants to play with you. And right. I feel like listening to her again and kind of like refreshing these things helped me apply what she was saying to other things, and it has been helping me the past couple of days.
I know like a big little feeling said it wasn't really about empathy, but to me, if we want to like simplify it as much as possible, like that is the lesson that I keep getting. It's like processing in that moment what both children were feeling. Like you're like, Jack just wants to play with Oliver. Oliver doesn't, it would not be fair for Oliver to give up his toy. So like, how can I communicate? How can I compromise the situation for both of them? Or like, what kind of solution, not compromise, what kind of solution can I create and communicate that in a way that feels as fair as possible? Knowing that you can't possibly have that kind of 100% solution all the time.
Right.
But like, to me, that's like a lesson in empathy, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes. No, yeah, you're right.
But Big Little Feeling said it wasn't, which I don't really remember what she said instead.
I have to re-listen.
I don't remember. I was just, she was like, no, but then in my head, I'm like, yes.
You know what? I think like it's, that's just like a lesson in like a lot of people have different theories and you don't need to, you don't have to be a follower of one person's entire theory. You could appreciate everything they have to say and feel like there are certain things that might apply to your parenting style or lifestyle, but like there are things from each person that will help you out. And like just because you don't, maybe don't agree with it 100%, if you agree with, you know, 80% of the thing, whatever it is, it's still helpful.
Yeah Anyway, it's also like just like if you can take one piece of information from anyone, you're like set further ahead than you were before. So it's
definitely,
you can only really retain like a couple things.
for sure on top of life.
on top of life. So what's going on? How is Oliver's fourth B-day?
It's great. You know, and he, it's funny, he like really didn't, he's like, it's my birthday. Like he kept saying it for like an entire week. And like, I guess that's like the Leo cusp in him. He's a Cancer. Okay,
we're going horoscopes.
But like, he was like, no, my birth, like it's my birthday. Like, I don't know. He kept saying it's going to like keeping his birthday. And I was like, no, actually my birthday is next. He's like, no, mommy, your birthday is not next. It's just always my birthday. And I was like, oh, okay, I've created a monster. But it was good. Like we had, like on his birthday, our family came over after camp for a barbecue. And then that weekend we did a little friends party with like a couple of his friends from camp and school. And my friend's husband has this like sports thing, playground athletes. They like do it at one of the camps over here. And so it was cute. It was like an hour and a half. The parents drop their kids off, their first drop-off party, which is like a big milestone. And the parents all thanked me. It was a Sunday morning and they needed it. And I got to be the camp mom. I have so much appreciation for all you camp counselors in the heat, because it was like one of those days. It was like 90 degrees by 9 a.m. and I was dying. They did a lot of water activities with them.
Yeah.
And but it was so cute and he was so happy. And his theme was space. So like they like kept saying like everything was like space. Oh, we're going on like the rocket ship, but like they were just like walking somewhere, you know. So it was like cute. Yeah. And he was very, very happy. And he's four.
That's really cute. Ugh, he's an adult. So parents like dropped their kids off and left.
Yes.
Them with you.
They left them with me. They put all their trust in me. But I mean, like, they could have stayed if they wanted to. Here's the thing. The reason why it worked is because a lot of the kids already do after school activities at this camp with playground athletes. So it was no different.
Right.
It was like they were doing something they've already done, but it was for a birthday party. So I think all the parents felt comfortable with that. And it's also why I felt comfortable doing that and like asking the parents to do that. But they had like counselors there, and then also like my sister was there, I had my brother-in-laws and sister-in-law, so like there were other adults there, but I was still the one, like, you know, when the kids were like, I want my water bottle, I need my towel,
go get it,
I was like, okay, there's like 25 of you. But my, it was so cute, and they had the best time.
That's great. Happy B-Day, Oliver. I was just thinking about like the first time I'm gonna have to like drop Mila off somewhere, like, and then leave. Oh my god,
it's big. Are you gonna do a separation nursery class?
I guess.
I know. I make you anxious when I ask you these things. You're like, Brittany, I don't know.
Well, now I guess I should. I mean, yeah, like we're not separate because like she's home, right? But we're separate because I'm not taking care of her. But she knows I'm home, I think.
It's totally I'll tell you right now, it's totally different. I've done both.
Yeah.
It's totally different. Like
In terms of what? Like dropping them off? Or no, just for like, them?
I mean, the dropping off, I had to do it with Oliver when he was 5 months old. And he's been doing it every day since. And he's very adaptable. I think part of it is also like who he is as a child, but it's like very easy for him to like go places.
Or did that form his personality as a child?
Or did that form it? There's a lot, I don't know. And then, but with Jack, are you kidding? Like I can't, like if I'm in the other room, he freaks out. The only other person he's okay with is like now, like his caretaker, his nanny. Yeah. Or Noah, or like, you know, he's very, very, very attached. And I never had that with Oliver.
Interesting. Yeah. So what does the nursery thing do?
Well, so they have like classes where
they take the kid like away.
They like started, I think, like the first half. Every place does it differently. So it's like some places do it where it's like the first half hour or something you stay. And then like the second hour you leave. And then I think that's like for the first semester, and then like the second semester it's like you just drop them off. And it's usually like how like 3 days a week or 2 days a week from like 9 to 12, and they like, I think they like slowly ease kids into like being able to have like full days apart.
Yeah, I didn't think of the whole like separation you know, ease in, but yeah, I'll consider it. I'll take it under consideration.
We could talk more about this.
We could talk more. Yeah, let's circle back later.
It's new to me too. Like I like I said, I haven't done this. So
yeah,
we'll have to figure it out together.
Yeah, one day. Yeah, so that's what's going on. Nothing really is new on our side. I'm planning Mila's first birthday.
Right.
So that's, you know, been awesome to do on top of work and just life.
She's turning one this month. We're in August.
August. I know. You said that Oliver's a cusp of Leo on the other side, right? And Mila's on the Leo cusp, I guess, of
Virgo. She's the 20th?
Oh, shit. 21st.
21st. Okay. So the 20th is my wedding anniversary. She was born 2 days after me. My birthday's August 19th. But she's a cusp of a Virgo. And Oliver's Cancer with a on the cusp of Leo.
I don't know what any of this means. Like, I don't know what a personality of a Leo is like, besides that it's a lion.
Loves attention.
Loves attention. Oh, totally. Yes. But don't all children?
Not all, no.
Ugh, well, you know, she's my child and my husband's child, so she definitely loves attention.
We should have like a horoscope specialist
come on.
And tell us about like how horoscopes might like affect like the parenting, like between like if you're a sign and your child's another sign. That would be such a fun episode.
I mean, I guess if you like you believed in that stuff, I would just be like, uh-huh, yeah, sure.
I love this stuff. I think it's so fun. We have a bunch more listener questions. We love doing this because we love talking to you guys and talking about what you guys want to hear about.
Totally. What is the category of the questions today?
So the category is things that you feel like should be spoken more about, that we just don't talk more about often, that's not normalized as much as we would want it to be. So let's talk about it.
Sure. Let's do it. Okay. So what's the first question?
Do you still battle with the PPA and PPD you had postpartum?
So is the idea that like people don't talk about that it lasts for a while, that it could last for a while?
And a lot of people actually said that, they feel like postpartum depression is always spoken about, but postpartum anxiety is not as known about, and people talk less about that. And which is interesting, because I feel like it's more prevalent, or maybe not. Maybe it's just we're not.
We don't talk about it enough. Yeah,
we have. Yeah,
we talk. We had a whole episode about this, right?
We've had two episodes with Dr. Lakshman.
Yeah, I definitely had postpartum anxiety. I don't think I had depression. I definitely had baby blues because it was like right after. Mm-hmm. And then there was a longer period of time where I was like anxious all the time. And I was like really anxious about specific things, like doing anything for the first time, like driving. That was a really long, that one took a while. Or like anyone taking her anywhere, which I still kind of don't feel comfortable. Like,
I don't know if that one goes away.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah.
But I was uber. I was like, it would set me off. Like, it wouldn't be like, oh, I don't feel comfortable. It was like, what do you mean? What are you going to do? Like, that kind of feeling. Yeah. Like, it would like turn the heat in my body.
Like an unsettling feeling.
Very unsettling. And I like remember vocalizing it to my mom during a period of time where I was just like, I'm feeling just like baseline so anxious right now. And I think I talked about this, like I had like a panic attack once.
Yes.
We took her to a park, and it was just like people I was with was not like, they were not listening to me and my boundaries. But I'm not so sure if that's PPA or just like
anxiety. Or being a new mom or being a mom in general. Yeah.
But I wouldn't have that kind of reaction without having a kid, you know, like when it was something like if I went out with my friends or like I was on a like trip and things weren't happening the way that I want, I wouldn't have a reaction like that.
Right.
It was around just like, I'm not being heard. I know my child. I need this done this way for my child. Like, it wasn't about me. Mm-hmm. So that did happen, but
I also think that like, does everybody get this anxiousness just in general because they're a mom and like they're dealing with their child? Like, that is something to actually like discuss, because it's like, do we all feel this anxiety of like, if something isn't going the way we want it to with our child, if somebody isn't listening to us, like, is it grounds that like all moms kind of like freak out about, or is it not?
I don't know. I think there's definitely like moms who have like chill personalities, just like people with chill personalities who become moms.
But they're chill people. Like, if people tell me I'm like a chill person, which is actually really funny. it's very funny. But like, I'm not chill when it comes to somebody, when I have like a schedule for my kids and it's not being followed a specific way. Again, I think like now I don't care as much, but like when they're babies and if it's not being followed, if it makes me upset and I freak out at that other person being like, why are you so upset over this? It's like, stop gaslighting me. Like this makes me upset and just appreciate that. Like I'm a new mom. I have all these hormones and things going on. So like where, like where is it normal and where is it not?
Is there a new type of anxiety that happens like with parenting, or is it like a, you know, when you have like two kids or an older kid, like, you know, the possibilities like of the world become bigger, like they are, you, like we were talking, you set them out into the world.
Yeah.
Like, is there, is, does that set off a new wave of anxiety? Is that different than like PPA?
So like, for example, there was like, somebody was telling me that there was like a story recently of like a kid, like somebody tried to kidnap him. And like, yeah.
What the fuck?
And I'm like not okay over that. Like it actually made me want to throw up. And like that is a huge anxiety for me where I'm like, well, when I'll, even if I'm at the park with Oliver, if I like turn my head for a second, like these are realities. And I think these are new anxieties to come with like older kids once they start to kind of like Oliver goes on a bus and like, you know, he does things and I'm like, and I know he's safe and he's always with people that I trust. And like, I talk to him about how to be safe, but like I always, now he's like riding his bike. He rides his scooter. What if I turn my head for a second and he rides into the street? And it's like these things where it's like kind of like you're, you have anxiety, or maybe it's just me. I don't know. Like, again, is this a thing that like all parents go through? I would think so. But I now have anxiety that I don't have control because he now has control over certain things.
Right. I think, first of all, that's a terrifying example. And I can't even imagine because I'm terrified I'm going to get kidnapped when I'm walking down the street.
I know. Same.
Like literally I walk around and I see a truck and I'm like, oh, got to walk the other way.
I know.
Like a crazy person. But like I'm always just like looking around like I have on alert. So that's why I also had to move from the city because like that was the on alert was like too high. So at least I decreased it a bit. But I think the PPA part of it though is like you're not letting Oliver go out. You're not, it's not like debilitating. It's not like
you're not
going out because it's not, it's not stopping you from doing things. I even if like let's not label it even like PPA. It's just a type of anxiety that is debilitating later stages of kids. So I feel like if it's not real, if it is and you're listening and it is and you hear this and you're like, wow, like I am not doing things because of it, it would be great to speak to somebody about it just to like evaluate if maybe like you are going through something. I guess the question is, do you still battle with PPA and PPD? I mean, I don't want to speak to PPD and like what that's like after, but I know it can last for a long time, but I'm personally not battling with it anymore. I definitely feel like a sense of joy and less anxiety, and just also because she's just like sturdier. When she, you know, she's cruising or whatever, or she's like hanging on to like the baby gate that we installed, and I'll see her like safely put herself down at times, like we'll hold on to the ledge and then step down. So I'm like, okay, so like she's a person, like she's getting it. Like she's figuring it out. They learn. Like, again, the whole thing about like that baby proofer told me, like you're not preventing ouchies, you're preventing trips to the hospital. So it's like just reminders about like things will happen. You can't prevent everything from happening and you can't shield them from the world. And this, you're just going to, you can only control as much as you can. And this is just the way that it's going to be forever. And that's just it. So like that's how I kind of have been thinking about it. If you are listening and you do feel you are still battling, please reach out for some help because there is so many other people who are going through this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And like you're not alone and there's like so many resources for it. There's so many like therapists that you can reach out to, even like on just all those platforms, those digital platforms that you hear. So there's a lot of resources, and then just don't hesitate to reach out. All right, next question.
Yeah.
Well, this next question, we're not going to answer actually, but we're going to answer it later in another episode because it's a big one. The next question is, how do you keep your relationship alive with a newborn? This one has been asked so much, right? Like, there's just been so much. And it's funny that this is on here because I was literally talking to my friend yesterday and she was like, no one fucking talks about how your relationship there's no way that people's relationships are not strained from having children. And how do you get back? Is there a way to get back to what you were before, or is this the new normal? Like, how to navigate that kind of thing. And I feel like we should talk about that in a whole episode.
Yes, this is worth an episode. So like we are gonna have somebody come on who specializes in this and could actually give real information, and it'll be a great conversation, and hopefully we'll answer a lot of questions.
If you have any questions also, yeah, like if you want to send like a Dear Betches Moms, like about a specific scenario or a fight or something that we can read on that episode and have an expert help, email us moms@betches.com or you can DM us @BetchesMoms. Okay, next question. All right, this is from a listener. Can we talk about how challenging breastfeeding is? I mean, yes, and we have at length. I know last episode or two episodes ago, we had a listener question about it and we were like, go listen to the previous episodes. But we thought we would call this one out again and sort of share our, just like a highlight of our, that it was challenging for the both of us. And also, it happens to be Breastfeeding Awareness Week, which is a week in which we are being told to be aware of how great the advantages of breastfeeding, but Brittany and I think that there should be a week about the awarenesses of how challenging breastfeeding is, and that it isn't for everybody, and that it doesn't work all the time, and that let's be aware that formula is a great option. So that's what we're going to change it.
Yeah, we're changing it.
And okay, so Brittany, do you want to give a small highlight of how challenging breastfeeding was for you?
So I did it for 10 months with Oliver, but honestly, like, I think I put myself through a lot. And with Jack, I ended up doing it for 4 months, which was I should have stopped at like maybe like before that. And I think I knew to stop with Jack because I knew from what I went through with Oliver that like, it was okay to stop when I needed to, and I could have stopped when I needed to with Oliver. So it was difficult for both times. It was even difficult stopping at 10 months, and this isn't like trying to talk down anybody that like wants to do it or is empowered to do it, because like all the power to you, but like people shouldn't be made to feel bad or like pushed, or like the benefits of breastfeeding shouldn't be pushed on people to like make them feel bad that they can't continue to do it. There are so many reasons that you can't, like it doesn't help if you have postpartum anxiety or depression. It doesn't help when you have multiple kids at home. Some people have like inverted nipples and you like literally can't, and you have to use a stupid breast shields, and then they like chap up your nipples even more, and then like the pumping, it's just like a whole lot of shit. So like, yeah, I was very proud of myself for stopping when I did, because that was not easy and I felt really bad about it. But in the long run, it was the best thing for both of us. And again, like this isn't promoting like stopping.
It's not promoting anything.
It's not promoting anything. Like I don't, yeah, like take my experience, like however you want to take it. It's just like this was how it was for me.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing your experience, because I think that that's important, is to share a range of experiences.
Yes. So
to make people feel like there's no one right way, clearly, because there's so many people where it doesn't just work. Like it doesn't just come naturally.
Right.
Not because like, not emotionally, but physically.
Yeah.
Like I had a supply issue and I tried so hard to breastfeed. That was one of the hardest times of my life. Like, yes, the trying to make it happen. I had a phone call with several different lactation consultants. I called one consultant every morning at 8 a.m. to talk about what I should do. There were days, weeks, where I was like fucking feeding. There was a suction on my boob every single minute of the day. Yeah. Almost, there were more minutes of the suction than there were minutes no suction of the 24 hours, because it was like feed, then pump, then break, then pump, then feed. Because I was trying to increase my, oh, and then drink the teas and fucking eat the disgusting yeasts. And I was doing it. I wasn't complaining. I was just like, I was doing it and I was into it, but it was taking up so much. It was draining me emotionally. And I was just like, one day I just had to be like, I cannot do this anymore. I don't have enough milk. I need to just come to that. I need to come to that. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And she wasn't fucking latching. Oh my God. I got PTSD. She wasn't latching.
It's like hard. It's really hard to talk about. Like, I feel like it's bringing up a lot of feelings.
I know, but it's not as bad as it was, because I remember when we did a show and I could not talk about it without crying. In fact, I just had actually Megan Roop on DST, and we were just like kind of reminiscing on, you know, when she was on, and then we were talking about like the whole bounce back thing very briefly. And we were saying like 6 weeks, and I was like, 6 weeks? I was at my doctor's appointment. She was asking me about breastfeeding, and I just started breaking down and crying in that office, mm-hmm, for reasons I couldn't control.
Right.
Because I was just like, I couldn't talk about it without crying.
Yeah.
And yeah, of course, hormones, but at the same time, I felt like I was a failure of some, because I put so much pressure on myself. But this is the awareness that we're trying to bring here, is right, that there's no one way. And I too was very proud of myself looking back that I was even able to go like 10 weeks. And I remember even talking to you about it during that time where it was like, we were trying to wean, and that was fucking a whole emotional roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Because there was like this emotional attachment to wanting to keep going. Mm-hmm. For me, it was like, even though I know I don't have any supply, I still felt so guilty about, mm-hmm, stopping. But then once, mm-hmm, I did, oh my God, it was the best. After like a few weeks of formula, I'm not sure. Is it okay? Am I doing the right thing? Should I keep trying? What do I do? Then it was like, oh wow, my life, I'm getting it back. This is what it's like to be a person again.
Yeah.
An individual. And my baby's fed and she's okay. And I know I'm giving her the best that I can. And, mm-hmm, we live life.
And again, we spoke about this in like such depth over multiple episodes, but like it put you in a better, and me, in a better mental space to parent. So you're choosing one or the other. People could say like, okay, but the benefits of breastfeeding and all this, what are the benefits of you being a sane, like, oh my God, emotionally free person for your child?
Right.
Like, what you have to choose there, and like, some, you need to choose to like be mentally present.
Yeah, no, I agree. I do wonder though, like if I had a supply, how long I would have gone for. Mm-hmm. Like if it wasn't so stressful and I like had enough to pump, and it was fine, and I kind of just like got in the rhythm of that, I think I probably would have gone for a while, mm-hmm, especially knowing that, oh, and also she had the fucking milk protein allergy, and I had to go vegan. Oh my God.
Yep.
Oh God, this is what I mean by like, it's stressful. Oh my God, I'm a goddess in a fucking forest breastfeeding my child while there's deer sitting around me. Like, that's not like that.
Wearing a flower crown.
No, I was like sitting with like half my like bodies, like just watching True Blood and like crying.
I still love so much that True Blood was like your happy place.
That was my show. Yeah. Yeah. That lactation consultant was like, you need to watch something that makes you happy. I'm like, okay, like Death and Vampire is great.
Done. I do want to say that like with Oliver, it did get easier past a certain point. Like I was able to go because I had a big supply. I do want to say that. Like, I did feel like I got to a place where it was easier and it worked for me. And at that point also, I was doing both formula, and because I was coming into work and I didn't want to, and I started pumping at work in the middle of the day, and I just like didn't want to do that either. But we have an amazing place in our old office and in our new office too, but we had an amazing place to do this, which I was very grateful for. But yeah, and with Jack, I was like, I can't wait to get to that place. Like, this is, and I also think it was just like harder on me with Jack, but yeah, like I guess I just wanted to say, like, I did feel like it did get a little easier the first time, but still, like,
you do what you could do.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like, also, being a working mom is hard on top of all of that.
Yeah.
It's just, like, a lot of, like, there's a lot of things to process and decide and, like, make, like, yeah, just decide and, like, kind of prioritize and just figure out what's right for you, your kid. And this is also, like, even at the first time around, it's, like, this is my or any woman's first time making decisions for someone other than themselves. Mm-hmm. So like that like muscle is new, and like figuring that out, like just have some grace for yourself if you're going through it now.
Definitely. It was very heavy, and like we could go on for hours on that. So let's move on to, should we do Am I a Momster?
All right, let's do Am I a Momster? Our fave. Okay. Hey, Betches moms. First off, love the pod. My sister-in-law and I had daughters 6 weeks apart from each other, and their first birthday is coming up. My daughter's first birthday is in September, and my sister-in-law asked if we would want to do a joint first birthday party together. Initially, I thought, hell no, it's my daughter's first birthday party. So I did tell her no, and she did understand. But am I a momster for wanting to have our own birthday party? We are inviting mostly the same people. Okay, love you guys. Love a first birthday party, Betch. What do you think, Brittany? You've had already 5 birthday parties to celebrate.
So many. I think it like, no, you're not a momster, because like, I get it. Like, you want to have, like, how long do you wait to like have a first birthday party for your child, especially like your first child? Like, it's a big moment. So I think it's very understandable to want to have that separation. I also think it depends on your relationship with that person. Mm-hmm. You said it's your sister-in-law. I'm kind of thinking of it from a perspective of like, if it were like my sister asked me, because my nephew and Oliver are 2 days apart. So like, we do like our family parties together. And at first I was like, am I going to like doing that? But then I love doing that. Like, it was not even like a question. Like, it was something I thought about before I had Oliver, but like, I love doing it. So like, I really think it like just depends on, I think the first birthday party is different. I think every year after that, you're not going to care.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I was going to say that, like, I didn't even know. You could call out about the sister-in-law. It's like, it depends on your like relationship. It's so nice that she asked. Like, that's cute. And it like goes to show that you guys do have a cute little relationship. But I think like, for your first, if you want to do whatever the fuck, you know, people go all out, or they don't go all out, whatever.
Right.
Do your thing. And then you're going to want to, like, you could do it on the second birthday party. You're going to be like, nah, I don't want to spend money. Let's split it. And like, so it'll be easier. But I wouldn't worry about like the logistics of like, we're inviting mostly the same people. I feel like that's where like guilt is coming in.
Right.
Whereas like you went with like your gut. You said, I want to do this on my own. Go with that, because then you're just going to be like giving in a lot with the rest of it.
Right.
So I agree. No momster here. You are very much fine to have a birthday. However, if you get into the territory of like comparing, like, it's like bride wars, but like first birthday wars.
I mean, like, some new movie. Some people get a little crazy.
They do. But like, if this is what it becomes, then I would say like, okay, entertaining for us to watch, but like probably not fun in the moment. Like, it becomes like, not about the children.
Right.
But don't go like first birthday wars. Go like, oh, I'm going to do my thing the way that I want it. And It is what it is.
And don't feel guilty about it because this is what you wanted. And I think that's totally understandable for your first child's first birthday. Like, even if it's a second or third child, whatever, it's their first birthday. Like, it's understandable.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Good luck. Happy birthday. All right. Should we do the No Mama Guilt?
Okay.
Let's do it.
Hey, Britt and Aileen. Love the podcast. I graduated from Betches Brides to Betches Moms right around when you launched, and we started thinking about starting a family, and it's been so helpful, but I think I need to go back for some refreshers. Fast forward to now, I'm nursing my three-week-old and listening to the latest episode. My mom guilt is about enrichment activities for my little guy. He basically just eats and sleeps, but I have the guilt when he's actually awake and I'm not playing with him or teaching him enough. On the other hand, how many things can you do with a newborn? We do tummy time sessions, read a book, or look at black and white cards. Any other ideas on things to do? Also, how does the mom guilt start this early? Does it ever end? Sincerely, a fresh mom betch. No, the mom guilt never, ever ends. I'm going on 4 years and it hasn't gone away. I maybe talk to a college mom. I don't know.
Wait, that's funny. Yeah, no, it doesn't go away. Oh, I also like that she has been following us. Think when she was mom curious when we launched this, and has you know, so she was consuming all the content to prepare, and now she has a 3 week old, 3 weeks. She's emailing Betches Moms. Just know this is only the beginning, and you're doing amazing, sweetie. Yeah, there's really like, what are you gonna like send the kid to a tutor? Like, what, there's really not much you could do at 3 weeks. Like, there's. Right?
I wasn't really as much like this with Jack, but with Oliver, I used to obsess that he wasn't doing enough. And I had friends that had babies the same age, and they're like, well, what do you think you're going to do with him? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, he's been in his bouncer for like an hour, or like we've been doing tummy time like for like 10 times today, or like what else could we do? And they're like, they're babies. Like,
yeah.
I think that like it's totally normal to feel that way, because we think as humans, like, yes, we always want to be entertained. We always want to be doing something, and you want to like get right into it, and you want to make sure you're giving your child the best experience from day one. But the truth of the matter is they're totally fine. And I think I realized that with Jack also, yeah, like having a toddler at home and like not being able to give all my attention to the baby. Like, I realize he's totally fine. And I think that's just like something you need to teach, tell yourself, like, like you said, you're doing so much with him. You're doing the black and white cards. You're doing books. I mean, you could resort to singing and dancing. Like, yeah, I did that a lot.
Music. Yeah, music. For sure. So funny. I also was insane. Because I was also even just like insane with my dog. I remember like going to a trainer, and I'm like, how do I intellectually stimulate my dog?
Of course you did.
And the answer was like, take her for a walk, like have her sniff around. And that answer is just like simple enough, like for a dog, you know, it's just like, just do the things that they're like learning, exploring the world. Same thing for a little tiny baby, like they can't even see yet. So like just the smallest movement is like a lot of energy for them. Mm-hmm. That was like also really good advice, that like just the smallest amount of just like holding or looking at that age is a lot of energy expenditure. So it is enough for that. Like tummy time is only like just a few minutes, right? Like 10 minutes. Like then you stop, you give them a break, because it takes, that's like their workout.
Yeah.
Mental and physical. So I would just take a step back. Give yourself some space. When they open their eyes at that age, it's a lot. So like, you know, just look. You can, you know, what could you do? Like Google all the different things, like the developmental apps that they have, where you can learn about what they're going through in that moment. So you can, there's one called
the Wonder Weeks.
Wonder Weeks. That's a good one. Yeah. That put things in like context and perspective for me at the time, where I was like, oh my God, I don't need to like sign this kid up for a gym class, like where I can't even like move, you know, like,
yeah,
take it easy. It'll be okay. I get the guilt. I want to intellectually stimulate my dog. So I get it. So Sansa's bored. But congratulations.
Yes, congratulations. You're doing amazing, sweetie, as Aileen said. And you're doing it right. There's no wrong way. You got this.
You got this. Fresh mom bitch.
Yeah.
All right, Brittany, I think that's a wrap for this episode.
That's a wrap.
The Betches Moms podcast. Guys, don't forget to give us a rating, 5 stars. We love it. We love to see it. It really makes us happy. Leave us a review if you really like the show. 5 stars again, please. Thank you and good night. And follow us on Apple and Spotify. You can follow us at Betches Moms. I'm at Aileen and Brittany is at @its_Brittany_Lev.
Did you write that down?
Nope. I just looked to my memory and I got it.
That's amazing.
And remember, there are no rules on this podcast. I'm not like a regular mom.
I'm a cool mom, right, Regina?
Please stop talking.
The Betches Moms podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong. Social media by Brittany Levine. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram and send us your emails to moms@betches.com.
Betches.